the wind. I am down on willing, so I will find a way. It took a minute, now it didn't happen right away. When it get hot in the kitchen, you decide to stay. That's how a winner's made. Stick a fork in the hater on my dinner plate. I walk into the fire like it's just a bit of flame. I switch my style up, push the money pile up. I'ma get rich with life.
What is going on, everybody? Hope you enjoyed the hype music, because this guy's back. Second year in a row, semifinalist, Arturo Torres. What's going on, man?
How's it going? Just hanging out.
Yeah, so we talked to you last year, your first trip to semifinals. Get to follow up with you again this year. My first question to you is, last year, you came into semis in 39th position.
Mm-hmm.
In the offseason, they announced they are cutting the field from 60 to 40. Any trepidation, any fear that they're cutting it down to that, and your placement last year was right on that line?
Yeah, no. So whenever I heard they cut it down, I was like, man, this. So what made me happy is, okay, I would have still made it last year. So that kind of gave me some peace. And at the same time, I don't know if it's true or if it's something that I just keep telling myself. But I tell myself that I'm just getting started. So I was like, I made it this year. I would have still made it even with the cut line at 40 last year. And I'm just going to get fitter. You know, obviously everybody is too. But I mean, I was confident that I was going to be much fitter this year than I was last year. So but I mean, there were, I was like, man, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tight. And it was, you know, I think I finished 37th. So, I mean, it was close again, you know?
Yeah. So if people don't remember our conversation last year, you led a crazy life leading up to your CrossFit world. Like you went to Texas A&M, you went to Bible College, you went to Alaska to be a salmon fisherman. You then came back, finished college, and then you kind of jumped into it. So you jumped into this a lot later than others. Do you feel your window is smaller and you've really got to get after it to get there?
Yes, but that also kind of like gives me hope. I think it gives me more hope than if I had started sooner, if that makes sense. So let's say I had been doing CrossFit for 10 years and this is where I'm at, versus I've been doing it for 5 years. I feel like I still have some room to climb and improve, versus if I'd been doing it longer, I'd be like, well, maybe I've gone as far as I could go.
So we talked about last year being 39th place. The year before that, you were 538th in your region. So you made like huge leaps from that year to last year. How much fitter do you think you are today than you were last year?
Ooh, so that is a really tough question to answer, because I had a few, I'm not going to call them setbacks. I don't really believe in setbacks, but I had some challenges going into these quarterfinals that made me feel like I wasn't as fit as I wanted to be going into quarters. About a month before quarters, my back started acting up, and I took some time off to, you know, kind of alleviate that. As soon as I was getting better, I got in a small car crash, and it wasn't major, but I think maybe like just the impact kind of like tensed everything up. And man, I think 6 weeks ago, I could barely put on my shoe. Going to work, I couldn't, you know, I'm a coach at Lifetime, and I couldn't demo any of the movements. I was in so much pain, and I had to take about 3 weeks off of lifting going into quarters. The week before quarters, I think that Monday I lifted the 45-pound bar for the first time. Then Thursday I did some 20, you know, like, so I had to take a lot of time off, about a month, going into quarters. And so I didn't have a lot of confidence before that. I mean, I feel like I was riding really high. And then that just kind of was an unfortunate, you know, so I don't really know, you know, how much fitter I am because of that, you know, that little challenge.
Do you remember what I called you at the end of last year's episode?
The most interesting man.
That's great. The most interesting man in the world.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at your off season, and just in typical Arturo fashion, it didn't go as smoothly as one would have hoped. So first of all, I'm at Masters Fitness Collective. We got Corey Leonard in the chat. I was rooming with him, hanging out there, and all of a sudden you tapped me on my shoulder. And I didn't even know you were going to be there, but I got to meet you in person and talk to you there at Masters Fitness Collective. That shows how late in the game you've kind of jumped into this. You got to try out the baby Masters.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how did that go first and foremost?
It went really well. Really well-run competition. I knew there was going to be some high-caliber athletes there. But the guys that won first and second, man, they were after it all weekend. They were some, just a really good competition, really high level of athletes. Just a great experience overall.
Yeah. And you ended up just off the podium in a very, very tight competition.
Yeah, it's what it felt like. Like I said, I can't remember if I finished fourth, fifth, or sixth, but it was somewhere in that range. I felt like I was close, but I just missed out.
So then, and actually Wad Zombie jumps in, talking about our sponsor, Thick Boy. Arturo is a thick boy. Dude is jacked. See him in real life, man. Those biceps, I think they give Hulk Hogan a run for their money. But you're one jacked individual. And we're going to talk about that in a second.
Thank you.
So then you finished Masters Fitness Collective. I think looking at your Instagram, you did a couple local comps. But then you go for Wadapalooza.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it gets typical Arturo. We can't go a straight line.
Yeah.
You were the athlete that was invited, then said, oops, we made a mistake. You're uninvited. And then, well, we need to make this right. We're going to re-invite you.
Yeah.
So can you walk us through that? What was going through your head at the time?
So it all happened really, really quickly. So I do the qualifiers, I think back in October. I actually finished 13th in the qualifiers before I received a pretty decent penalty for not extending my hips on some deadlifts, which I thought I did. But, you know, who cares? You know, the video's out there. Maybe I'll post it and let you guys be the judge. But either way, I finished 13th. I received a penalty that pushed me back to 21st. So I was like, well, okay, I'm out. I think it was New Year's Eve. I received a message saying, hey, I received an invitation for Wadapalooza. And I'm like, you know, shoot, it's really short notice. Maybe if I can, you know, raise a little bit of support, then maybe I'll go. And ultimately, I was like, you know what? CrossFit is what I love. This is what I want to do. It's going to be a great experience. No matter the cost, I need to go. So I accept the invitation. And then, yeah, a few days later, they're like, you know, I booked my tickets, booked my hotels, do all that super quickly. And then a few days later, you know, they hit me with the, hey, just kidding. The whole thing kind of sucked. Because after that initial just kidding, you know, I reached back out and I was like, hey, do I really need to cancel everything? You know, you can do the RX division. I was like, you know, no, thank you. Not interested. And so I asked them, do I cancel everything? Do I not? And so I was kind of on the fence. Do I cancel my flights, hotels? And they didn't answer. There was like a 12-hour dead window of silence and I messaged everybody I could, their Instagram, their emails, everything. And that was probably the hardest part. And they've apologized for that, saying that they could have handled that better. You know, they said that they were talking amongst themselves. They were trying to figure out the best solution. But I was in the dark for 12 hours. So I canceled everything. And then literally an hour after I canceled everything, they reached back out. And they're like, oh, you know, we talked amongst us and we're going to make room for you. And I was just like, great.
Did you lose money in the process? Because sometimes when you cancel, you have to pay a fee.
So I lost about maybe like $200-$300 in a non-refundable hotel deposit. And they did help me rebook at another hotel, you know, which was a little bit cheaper. So that was nice, but I lost maybe like a $200 or $300. That was it though. That was, thankfully.
Man, that just seems crazy. Mm-hmm. Communication in CrossFit is just not great. And this isn't even CrossFit HQ. This is an event outside of that, but in the CrossFit space.
Yeah.
But man, just let people know.
Yeah, that was it. And, you know, they said they would. They said, you know, I was like, just please don't ever do that to another athlete. Just keep them, you know, keep communicating. If you're figuring it out, just let me know that you're figuring it out, because I don't know what's going on, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So you end up competing. You go to Wodapalooza. What was the experience like?
It was, honestly, it was unbelievable. I mean, as soon as I get there, I was like, okay, this was worth it. You know, they had a really nice, like, little beach VIP experience. I got my hair cut and my beard trimmed on the beach. And then I just got to compete the next few days against, you know, some of the best, which is something that you only get to do a few times a year. And so that experience in itself was unforgettable. And I didn't do as well as I wanted to, but there was glimmers of hope. I think workout two, I took, I think, eighth place. And that was with some costly no reps that shouldn't have been no reps. You know, the head judge came and they were telling me that I wasn't doing a 2-foot takeoff on my burpees, but a 2-foot takeoff wasn't required. I know. But anyways, there were some glimmers of hope. It was an overall just, you know, another great experience. And just kind of building confidence being on that bigger stage.
So I know last year when we talked, you said that you didn't have a lot of big game experience. Mm-hmm. Like going to semifinals, that was your first major competition of your career.
Mm-hmm.
With Wodapalooza, you all get the added effect of it's raining, it's not raining. We change the workouts, we change them again, we change them a third time. And all of that, you have to kind of just go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
So what did that do to teach you, like, almost unknown and unknowable in an extreme setting?
So the whole workout changes, I think, didn't affect me a ton. Obviously, you know, like, prepping for some of those events would have been different. I think the two biggest takeaways was, like, one, I need a coach. I need somebody who's going to, you know, be there to, you know, like, so, you know, we do change events. Okay, let's talk. I need somebody to talk through that with me, you know, what's our plan? What's our strategy? Because doing that on my own is difficult. And then also I need somebody, you know, whether it's a coach or just somebody to be there to support me. I was on my own. Nobody went with me. And so, in between events, I was rushing around to get food. I left my water bottle in one of the tents and I couldn't find the tent and I was dying after event two. And I spent about an hour crawling around, asking, you know, people where I could find my water bottle. And that was all just stuff that could have, you know, where I could have been resting and recovering. Like, I think I need somebody there to, you know, just to help support me. And so those are my two biggest takeaways. If, like, I want to compete seriously and I want to actually have a chance of doing well, I need a coach and whether it's my coach or somebody else, I need somebody who's going to help support me with the small stuff too.
So when you say coach, mm-hmm. I get the part at the event, right? Just mm-hmm. to kind of like help you talk through stuff. Do you currently do all your own programming and all of that stuff?
No. So as of maybe like, so because of that experience, you know, I had a talk with Tristan. I don't know. He's an Ascend athlete coach, Jacob's coach and Kelly's coach.
Tristan
Patrick. Talk there. Huh?
Tristan Patrick.
Yeah. Tristan Patrick.
Yeah, awesome. We have a show together on this channel.
He what?
We have a show together on this channel.
Oh, really? Okay. I need to watch it then. I like both you guys. So I had a talk with them at Wodapalooza. Kind of telling him, and you know, and he was actually there to talk me through some of the stuff too. So I really appreciate him for that. And so you know, we started talking like, you know, I need a coach. I need somebody who's going to be there. And one of the Ascend coaches, Ascend Athlete coaches is Brady, who was on my team last year for semifinals, even though I went individual. And I love Brady. Brady's always been, you know, Team Arturo, very supportive and a great coach. And so not long after Wadapalooza, I competed against Brady at TFX. And at TFX, we talked a little bit more about it. And so for probably about the last 2 months now, maybe a little bit more, Brady's been my coach.
Yeah, TFX seems to be a great place for the Ascend team to grab athletes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last year, they got Madison McElhaney there. They got Hattie Canyo there. They killed it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it was it last year where Jacob Marlowe and Kelly Baker both won the pro division?
I believe so.
Yeah. That's a great way, you know, a great way to gain athletes is having your athletes just, you know, dominate.
Yeah. That's cool that you're with them. If you ever see Tristan, you have to start calling him Coach Krispy Kreme.
Okay. Are you gonna share the story behind the nickname?
So we followed Kelly through last season, from start to finish, and he was a major part of that because he was our coach. So we got to know him, and he had a shirt that was for Einhorn CrossFit, but it was in the logo of Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And so the chat started calling him Coach Krispy Kreme.
Okay. And
it has stuck.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. He likes it too. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know you did TFX. How did that go for you?
It went well. I think I finished. Once again, I think I finished fifth. I finished fifth, and I felt like I just missed out on the podium. Let me say this: going into the final event, second through fifth were like, I mean, we were, I think, within 10 points of each other. I mean, it was just a really tight battle. So we all had a shot for the podium. William Lee, he was crushing it, and so I don't think any of us could have caught up to him. But there was a really tight race between second and fifth. And I don't know where I was going into the final. But yeah, I think I finished in fifth. The final wasn't a great event for me. Rope climbs aren't my jam. So I think I finished fifth.
So it's funny because I ask you how you do and you don't know the exact placement. And so I want to ask you it's truly the off season. Is it that you're there just to learn and experiment and get to know yourself better? Or are you truly trying to get a placement?
I think it's more the first, like that definitely Wadapalooza was the first. I think TFX, I did want to do a little better at that one. Wadapalooza was just, it was so last minute. You know, these guys had weeks to prepare. I had a few days. You know, it just wasn't, I was going to do what I could do. TFX, I think I did want to do a little bit better there. But it was still, you know, priority still learning and growing and gaining some competition experience.
Yeah, what I love is the athletes that use those competitions to push the envelope, to find out, you know, what is my capacity on this? Then when you go into the real season,
yeah,
you know what you're capable of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a smart way to go.
Yeah. And there were mistakes made, you know, there was the snatch event kills me. Cause I was one rep away from, you know, from really doing well. I had about 15 seconds to do one more snatch at 185 and I rushed it. And then I think I missed twice and it was just like, yeah, looking back, it's just like, okay, learn your lesson, take your time, watch the clock, you know, don't rush. There's always lessons. Every competition, I learn something.
How much, it's not every day you do a 3-day competition, 3 days at a high intensity. Mm-hmm. Right. I go to a lot of competitions and see people on that Sunday just run out of gas.
Yeah.
Is that something you have to like keep doing to get better at, or?
Yeah. And I would say you just described what all my shortcomings have been in every competition and what one of my goals is in the off season. And it's to train more under fatigue. I think early on in my CrossFit career, you know, I would never hit, you know, the same body part or the same stimulus 2 days in a row. But it feels, you know, to give my body time to recover, but it feels like in these, you know, these bigger comps and these 3 day comps, they intentionally want to crush a certain body part and then have you do it later, you know, under fatigue. And so now, you know, a big part of my off season has been training certain movements and certain things under fatigue. Because that's been, you know, I can have a really great start, but then I can't finish. I just, you know, I can't hold on to the rig anymore. My grip is shot or you know, stuff like that.
So last year we also talked about, at that point in time, you had lost 14 pounds going into semifinals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you still trying to get lighter, or was that like, were you in a good place? Now you're just trying to hold.
Yes. So I was very happy with where I was at. I was sitting around 195. I weighed myself. So, you know, after I tweaked my back and I had to take, you know, 3 weeks to a month off of lifting, I was under 190 for the first time in a really, really long time. Cause I mean, I couldn't squat heavy. I couldn't lift heavy. I was still doing Metcons and stuff like that. So I lost a few pounds. I don't know where I'm at now, but I'm happy. I feel good. I still feel strong. I feel light. So, I'm happy with where I'm at.
Cool. So now it's just trying to hold that, hold that line.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also wanted to show everybody that, you know, you semifinal athletes, it's expensive to get there. And you have a GoFundMe out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to share that.
Yes, I have a GoFundMe. I haven't posted it yet. I'm going to share it. Yeah.
I'm going to share it.
Oh, nice. Oh, you found it.
I did.
Nice.
Yeah. Awesome. That's my job, Arturo.
Yeah.
So
I haven't shared it. I'm going to share it today.
Yeah. So Arturo has a GoFundMe, and for not sharing it, you already got some cash in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I shared it with my alpha people, and they are very, very sweet and supportive of me. So yeah, we got a good start.
So you have that out there. If people feel that they want to help you get to semis, mm-hmm. you live in Texas, you got to get to California, right?
Yeah.
And that's not a cheap trip.
No,
I just looked at it today. Cause I found out I finally got approved for credentials, and now I got to figure out, can I afford it?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And it's just, I like last year that we had about 2 months, you know, to like, you know, buy stuff, plan ahead and stuff. This is a quick turnaround.
It is.
Yeah.
Very quick.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's gofundme.com/f/help-me-get. There's dashes between every word. Help me get to the 2024 CrossFit semifinals. If you want to donate, and we'll put the link in the description for you today too.
Thank you.
So I want to, now that the tough stuff's out of the way, I got to ask a question. What is the deal with cheeseless macaroni and cheese?
okay. So there's a great story there. I think it was Thanksgiving. We had a Thanksgiving potluck for CrossFit Quest. And I brought macaroni and cheese. Keep in mind that I made it the night before. I knew I wasn't going to have time the next day to make it. And when I made it the night before, I put my heart and soul into it. I really did. It took me about an hour and 20 minutes to make, you know, from scratch, put some bacon in there and it was delicious. And I actually had to save half of the sauce in another container because it was too cheesy. I was like, man, this is too cheesy. I'm going to overwhelm people with the amount of cheese. Well, something happened when I put it in the fridge between that day and the next, because when I reheated it and served it for the potluck, there was no cheese to be found. I even brought my backup cheese and I put the backup cheese in there. But it just wasn't the same as the night before. And so everybody, you know, started giving me crap about, you know, there was no cheese. And one of the girls said that there were butter noodles. And either way, there's a redemption arc coming where I'm going to make macaroni and cheese for them again. I'm going to give them a little sample and they're going to love it. And then that's all they're going to get. They're not going to get any more.
Just to prove it's a thing.
Exactly. Just to make them want it. And now they can't have it.
Yeah. Well, I want to finish up today with something that I know is really important to you. And that is, you have an Instagram called Journey to the Cross. It actually is your CrossFit Instagram account.
Mm-hmm.
And, but in that you also talk about your faith. You do words of the day. You do a lot of things like that. How is it that now you're getting invited to bigger competitions? How is that platform helping you spread the word?
So, I mean, ultimately, like that's the whole reason this journey started was, you know, to create, you know, to land this platform so that I can have, you know, so I can share my story, my message with the world. I think I have a really, you know, really awesome testimony. I feel like I have a lot to say, a lot to share, which I've kind of changed my mind about this. And I'll kind of go into detail on that. It was like, you know, who cares if I have something to share if nobody wants to listen? Recently, I've kind of changed my mind about that. You know, God's kind of reminded me, like, look, it doesn't matter the size of your audience. You know, be faithful in the little. And I'll give you much. I'll trust you with more. And so, so I've kind of changed my mind about that. The goal is to, you know, the goal is to impact the world, you know, for Jesus, for Christ. That's the whole reason I began this. If you can see, I kind of took a little break too from posting. I haven't been posting a lot recently. I've been just kind of focusing more inwardly, because I had another fear, kind of like on this journey. I realized that at a certain point, I don't know when, I started focusing more on the training aspect and the CrossFit aspect of you know what I want to share, and not enough on the, you know, on the internal aspect and, you know, my relationship with Jesus. And so my fear was that, you know, maybe I'll accomplish everything that I want to accomplish in CrossFit, but I'm going to get there and I'm going to have nothing to say. So the past few months I've kind of reprioritized some things. And so now every day, you know, I make sure I don't go to bed without doing some devotionals and some journaling, because what I have to say is just as or more important than what I want to do in the CrossFit world.
And that looks like sitting down with the word, journaling what you're reading, things like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then reflecting. I think reflecting is a really big part too, because I can read all day, but something happens when I journal, when I like really sit down to express my thoughts and put them on paper. And then it kind of gives the day meaning, like what was today about? What did we learn? How did we grow today? That's been helping a lot, really process things.
It's funny you say it that way, because I was talking to Gabby Spence. She was one of our interviews last week on Thursday, and she was talking about how prayer changed for her, and it became more of a reflection of the day with her and God together. And it didn't have to be like the perfect words. It didn't have to be all the stuff. It just was like they go over her day together and talk about what they can do better, what they need grace for, all of that stuff.
I love that. That's similar. Like I call journaling kind of like a debrief, you know, just a debrief with God. Like, you know, what, like I said, what did we learn? What did we get out of today? Is there anything you want for tomorrow?
Yeah. Corey Leonard says, everybody needs the word, my brother. Good on you.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, absolutely.
So, and you kind of already answered it, because one of my questions was going to be is, you're in this sport, right, where, you know, you've become like a jacked athlete, right?
Yeah.
And it's hard to be humble and do these things at the same time. And to give God his, because everything is God's, right? We're all God's, and everything that we accomplish is his. Yeah. And how do you remember to give him credit for all that and not like self-reflect?
So, and that was actually a battle that I had recently. And I actually talked about it with my roommate maybe less than a week ago, is, you know, so going into quarters, because of everything I had going on, you know, it was a big, I give God all the credit. You know, all it was, you know, I just had to keep trusting, keep hoping and believing and be patient and obedient, you know, every day, just, you know, don't do that, you know, trust God, it's going to be okay. And if I'm honest, I wasn't super happy about my mentality about being surprised when I was close to making semis and I made semis. But that's just kind of like how I went into it, was I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to do my best and I'm going to hope it's enough. And so going into semifinals, I wanted to change that mindset. I wanted to change it to, you know, let's go and take it. You know what I mean? I wanted to be a little more aggressive, a little more whatever about it, you know, kind of like, you know, have a more warrior mentality. And not that the warrior mentality is not going to be there, but it's just going to be different, because every time I started thinking that way, like, I'm going to go and take it, I'm going to go and grab it, I felt like some opposition. Like, that's, maybe that wasn't how God wanted me to feel about it. And so I started praying about it. And it's like, that's, I don't think that is how God wants me to approach semifinals, even though it sounds great. I think he wants me to continue to, you know, just walk in that humility and that trust. And we're going to go and we're going to do the best we can, but we're going to trust God to keep us healthy and to be able to perform at our, you know, at our highest level. And, you know, keeping it about him and not making it about me.
Have you reached out to other athletes that share your faith?
No, I can't say that I have.
Because I look at this year, right? Emma Carey takes a step back because she needed to change her priorities, right? She takes a whole season off to get her priorities right. Ariel Lowen talks all the time about that it's God's plan. Whatever happens on the floor, there's no need for her to get upset or to get worked up about it, because God has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cole Sager's been around the space a long time and always talks about that. I know, like, early on when I got into CrossFit, there were organizations like Faith RX, and Graham Holmberg had one here in Columbus. I can't even remember what it's called now, because it's been so long. You don't see that stuff anymore. I'm wondering where it went and why it went away.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it could just be that. I mean, it's really easy to get lost in the fitness side of CrossFit and kind of forget about the other stuff. Like I said, I mean, I feel like I have a really intimate relationship with, you know, with God, and it, you know, I feel like it even happened to me. Like I said, I mean, I probably went months without, you know, really picking up my Bible or being intentional about my Jesus time. And, you know, just, you know, because I had a good goal, I had good intentions, but just the sport of CrossFit, oh, you know, just kind of overshadowed the faith part of my walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wadzombie makes a good point too, that it went away because the athletes separated themselves from the affiliates, because those were very affiliate driven. Yeah. And they had you know, that like subgroups and different affiliates. So, because we had a Bible study in ours based under Graham Holmberg's organization.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's actually an excellent point. Yeah. Well, Arturo, this has been awesome. As always, you're one of my favorites to talk to. Hope you do well out in Carson this year.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm excited.
Hopefully I find a way to get there. If not, I will be reaching out to people from here to talk to them during the weekend. So, maybe we'll DM you during the weekend.
Yeah. I got a spot on the floor. If you need a place to
there you go. Hey.
As long as you don't snore.
Yeah. I'll wear my Airwave.
There you go. There you go. We can make something happen.
Yeah, because what somebody says out in California, you can just pop a tent anywhere. Nobody really cares.
Yeah. I mean, probably fit in.
Yeah. Well, with that, everybody, thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Arturo. As always, it's been awesome talking to you. And good luck at semis. We'll see everybody next time on the Clydesdale Media Podcast.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
C4 Energy, Extend, and CelluCor are delivering the most effective, best-tasting, and highest-quality products for you. Get 20% off when you use the code Clydesdale at checkout at C4energy.com. That's C4energy.com. And now back to the interview.